Welcome to If Not For God, stories of hopelessness that turn to hope. Here is your host, Mike Zwick.
Have fun today on the If Not For God show. So, you know, personally, Mike, I'm kind of excited to see what the show's about today, because If Not For God, it seems to be the topic.
Absolutely. If Not For God, I was actually just finished up reading a book by Kirk Cameron. Are you familiar with Kirk?
Oh, very much, very much, yeah.
And
interviewed him a couple times.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
What was that like?
It was actually good. He's pretty humble. You know, there are certain people like that that you know, have their own deal that's not so easy to follow. But in Kurt's case, yeah, he was really humble. He has a huge family, and he's very much a family man. I was on a cruise with him, too, one time.
You were on a cruise? Where'd you go on the cruise?
Just to the Bahamas. It was a Christian marriage cruise, something along those lines, and he was one of the speakers. And so, you know, we got a chance to see what he was really like.
Well, so the fame and all didn't really get to his head as far as you could see.
Well, I'm sure that you know, there's all sorts of interesting things about fame as you know, get to see what those people are really faced with as far as, you know, think of the warfare that, you know, Satan's got a bullseye on their back that's unbelievable. And so, you know, he does well.
When I was reading his book, he said that he was having a conversation. He had lunch with a famous script writer, and he said that he got into a zesty conversation about how you get to heaven. And he told the script writer, he said, "I told him I was a Christian." And the script writer said, "Well, Kirk, for an actor in Hollywood, you sure picked the one unacceptable religion, didn't you?" And I saw that in Proverbs 12:11, it actually says that those who work the land will have plenty of food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. And I don't know, it just kind of got me thinking, Robbie, that anything that you do, and I know a lot of people who want to make it big and they want to be famous or they want to do all these different things, but I think a lot of times when they think so big, sometimes they forget to do the little things. I don't know. It's just interesting. It's like, yeah, we want to do all of these big things, but we have to take small steps, I think, in order to reach our goals. And I know now, Robbie, you've got your talk show, and it's blown up, the Christian car guy and stuff like that. But can you tell me a little bit about what it was like in the beginning?
Yeah, I can tell you a lot about it. You know, like I didn't want to do it. I mean, you know, God said, you know, Robbie, I want you to get on the radio and talk about what breaks your heart every day. And I was like, God, have you heard my voice? I mean, this is not a guy, I'm not trained to be on the radio. And he was like, Robbie, I'm asking you to get on the radio. And, you know, so I woke up the next morning after this prayer conversation that God and I had, and I was like, well, I need a fleece. You know, I need to, you know, I heard a sermon one time, Pastor Quartz, actually, which you're okay. familiar with. He preached, and he said, you know, if God calls you to do something, he's going to swing the door wide open.
Okay.
So if you see somebody out there who says they're called to preach, but they don't have a church, they weren't called to preach.
Okay.
Those were his words. Right. That made a lot of sense to me at the time. And so I said, well, you know, I don't currently have a radio show, and I only know one person in radio that would be a Christian radio show like what God's talking about. That would be okay. Stu Upperson. So I knew Stu awfully well. We've been friends for years. And I called Stu, and I said, Stu, can I buy your lunch? Thinking this was my fleece, that I'll ask Stu to do this radio show, and he'll tell me that's crazy, and then I'll be off the hook, because if I don't have a radio show, right, I don't have to do it.
Yeah, pretty much.
So we met at a Mexican restaurant in Moxville.
Okay.
And I sit down, I lay out this idea that God had given me. I mean, he gave me the logo. He gave me the name. He said, this is the name of the show. This is what the logo, this is what I want you to talk about. He gave me all that stuff. Because he knew that, you know, this was not something that was my heart's desire. By anybody's stretch of imagination, I didn't even like to do commercials.
Okay.
I'm sort of an introverted person. I'm not this isn't me. And so I lay the idea out to Stu, and he goes, oh, Robbie, that's the best idea I've ever heard. How about this Saturday? I was like, well, I guess my fleece was like dripping with water all day. Oh, my gosh. And so, you know, I'm expecting actually that Stu is going to help me and like teach me. And,
okay.
You know, he tells me I've got to have a clock, whatever that is, and I've got to figure that one out. And so I show up to the studio that Saturday, and all there is one old disc jockey that was the producer in the booth.
Okay.
And he looks at me and he says, man, Robbie, you must really like to talk on the radio. And I said, well, no, not really. And he said, well, you got an hour show, man. You can't have you can't have any dead air. And I was like, oh, no. I mean, oh, like, well, it's supposed to be a live show. Stu said I would just ask people to call in and they'll call and ask me a bunch of questions about cars. And he says, dude, man, ain't nobody, this is your first show. Nobody's going to call in. You better be prepared to talk for an hour. And I was nowhere close to prepared to talk for an hour.
Wow.
And so all I had done, God totally, but this is if not for God, okay?
Okay.
Because I was not, and you know how long 27 minutes is, you ought to try an hour, you know?
Like, just wait.
And this isn't like pre-recorded, so like we can redo this. This is live. And, I had written down a bunch of questions that if I was out there that I would want to know, like, you know, when's the best time to sell a car? When's the best time to buy a car? Should I take the rate or should I take the rebate? Or what is this, you know, 60-month financing versus leasing and all these kind of questions. And I had written them out. And so I just started listing these questions, and unbeknownst to this disc jockey, the phone lines totally lit up. Okay, I mean, I had every single line filled, and I spent the rest of the show just sitting there, literally, because once one person calls, another person calls, another person calls. Well, essentially, from my perspective, it was totally God who knew I had nowhere close to the preparation needed to do an hour show. But being a salesman like yourself, you can understand that if you had 10 calls to answer, and you just got this person, they say, well, Robbie, I'm thinking about selling this car, and this is what, well, you know, you've done that for a living for 40 years. You're pretty much going to be able to answer that question. And so I sat there that first show.
Yeah.
Was just like, boom, I can answer these questions. But I didn't ever come back. And by the way, they don't always light up like that. I've done enough shows now to know that they don't. And you better be prepared to have some quality content for an hour. And God walked me through all that. And then, you know, interestingly, I guess between Stu and Charles Stanley heard the show, and it wasn't long after that Sirius 161 called up and said, we want to put the show on satellite. And so within about 6 weeks, I had a national radio show on Sirius 161 and Christian Car Guy. And I mean, it was totally God. It wasn't, believe me, this was not like, oh, Robbie, this is what you're, and you know, I'm getting calls from New York City. And I'll never forget one of the first deep calls I had. This guy says, I know this is off subject. Is it okay if we talk about something that doesn't have to do with cars?
Yeah. Yeah.
And for me, I was like, yeah, please. I want to talk about
it. You're sick of talking about cars. Yeah.
He says, well, I park cars at my church. You know, I help with the traffic out in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
But my pastor doesn't know that I'm hooked on heroin. What should I do? Should I quit parking? Should I quit coming to church? Because really, I'm, you know, I shouldn't be. And I mean, like, this dude calls me. At me.
Yeah.
Right? And God has me right there. Like,
right.
You're his lifeline. And I was just like praying, God, what do I tell this man? You know, this is a serious, he's really got a life question here. I'll never, ever forget it as long as I live, because it really was, I never anticipated that God would have me in this position. And he just was very clear with me, like, Robbie, the last thing, you know, that's what a church is for the heroin addicts.
Yeah,
They're not for the people that look good and all that. You know, it's for the heroin addicts or the people that are struggling with, you know, whatever abuse. You know, that's what the church is for. And I was like, dude, man, you had the courage to call me.
Yeah.
Would you have the courage to talk to your pastor? I'm just going to pray with you right now, as I recall, or, you know, something along those lines, that you'll have the courage to talk to your pastor, because, you know, he would be dying to help you. He would love to know what your struggle is. He would love for you to reach out and ask for help. And, you know, it was just cool. Like, I could see that God was actually in the show.
Okay.
And that this was something that he wanted to do. And so I just continued to chase him. And it's been a blast, I'll tell you.
Well, speaking about neat things, we have our Bible study on Tuesday nights over in Burlington, and I was telling them several months ago I was actually driving at the end of the day, and I sell insurance, so I was up in Reidsville. And all of a sudden, I was driving, and the sun completely blocked my eyes, and I couldn't see anything. Well, all of a sudden, at the last second, the sun comes up, and there's an 86-year-old woman in front of my car, and I hit her.
Oh, wow.
And I still haven't gotten the windshield fixed, so you could see it. But the what happened was she flew off of my car, and it seemed like about 20 feet. And I got out of there, and I said, got out of the car, and I said, this lady's dead. There's no way. And so her daughter-in-law actually comes outside, and she says, I'm calling the ambulance or whatever it is. And she said, so the daughter-in-law comes outside, and I'm there. And all of a sudden, I just start praying for this lady. And I said, Jesus, just help her live. Jesus, just help her live. I said, I don't care if they want to throw me under the bus or what. I said, just help her live. Lord. And it was interesting because right when that happened, the lady almost seemed like she came to, and she started babbling a little bit. And they the ambulance came. Everybody was outside. They took her away. And the police officer asked me what had happened and stuff like that, or the deputy, and I told him, and he said, all right, he says, well, go ahead and go, and you know, she's still alive, so we'll have a good night. And that weekend, I didn't know exactly what was going on, but it was really one of the worst weekends of my life. But it was interesting because what had happened that weekend was something told me when I woke up in the morning. It said, don't eat anything until 5 o'clock today. And it was on a Saturday. And so I didn't eat anything. And my wife and I, we went for a walk.
Okay. Well, you know, we got to go to a break. That's part of radio. And so we're going to leave our hero here hungry and walking. I, for one, like, I'm thinking If Not For God might come in the second half of the show, so stay tuned. We got a lot more of the If Not For God with Mike Zwick show coming up.
If you're trying to sell your home and you're sick of your realtor telling you they can't get your price, thank Todd Harrison. Call me. To sell your house for more money in less time and with no hassles, call 919-274-5532. Hi, this is Todd Harrison, and this is a great time to find out what your house is worth. Call me at 919-274-5532. Together, we can sell your house for more money in less time and with no hassles. The Todd Harrison team is affiliated with Keller Williams Realty.
If you feel stressed, all your life is stressed, and so is your walk with God. Your body is dealing with that as well. My friend Hal Cooper's calling is in dealing with stress as a licensed massage therapist. I call him Super Cooper. Super Cooper is all about helping you relieve stress. If you're in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area, call Super Cooper, licensed massage therapist, at 919-240-8367. That's 919-240-8367. License number 5615.
Welcome back to the If Not For God show with Mike Zwick. And when we left our hero Mike, hit an 87-year-old?
86.
86-year-old lady.
86-year-old lady.
She was taken to the hospital, and you felt God told you that Saturday morning after the incident that you were to fast until 5 o'clock. So you were about to take a walk.
So we took a walk. We went over to South Point Mall in Durham. And then I came back to my house in Mebane, and all of a sudden I have a 1-year-old and a 2-year-old, and so my 1-year-old at the time really was just saying dad, 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 dad. Well, all of a sudden it was probably 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, and my 1-year-old comes over to me with a little pocket Bible, the ones that the Gideons give out. Have you seen them?
Right? Oh, of course, yeah.
And he comes over and he says, read the Bible, Dada.
He says, read the Bible, Dada?
Read the Bible, Dada. Read the Bible, Dada. And so he brought it over to me. And then my 2-year-old brought it over to me and said, read the Bible, Dada. So I started reading the Bible. I started reading the Bible and I was just praying. And that So that day went by, and then Sunday came by, and it was Sunday evening, and all of a sudden, we get a knock on the door, and my wife and I kind of looked at each other, and I said, oh, God. Well, we went to the door, we saw it was a lady selling something. but when my wife and I, the lady went away, my wife and I looked at each other. She said, Mike, who did you think that was? And I said, who did you think that was? And we said, I thought that was the police coming to take me away or something. and it wasn't. And the good news is that I ended up calling the deputy on Monday, and I called and I asked him. I said, how is the lady doing? What's going on? You know, have you heard anything? And he said, Mike, I don't know how to tell you this. He says, but we took her to the hospital, and it was on a Saturday, and she had some bleeding on her brain, and her leg was hurt. And he said, but on Saturday, I didn't think she was going to make it, or they didn't think she was going to make it. And so we thought this thing was going to go a lot different. But on Saturday, it started to change and turn, and she's going to be fine. I guess the point of the story is that, you know, if not for God, you know, I mean, you know, it would have been a lot worse. And I've seen God do so many miracles like that in my own life. Robbie, I know, and I don't know if you want to share it or not, but I know you told me a story where you were at a car dealership one day and you were sick. Is that right?
You got to fill me in more details. I was sick a lot at car dealerships.
It was Pastor Little.
Oh, where I had cancer. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's a wonderful story. So yeah, I had been diagnosed with what was called killer cell lymphoma, which essentially my sister worked at the University of Michigan Hospital at the time, said, you know, there's only been two people had this kind of lymphoma in the United States. They didn't live 6 weeks. So when I was diagnosed with it, it was pretty traumatic, as you could imagine. And it didn't take long, and I broke out into these, you know, they were essentially tumors that were all over my body.
Okay.
And so if you could picture what Job looked like, you know, maybe that's kind of what I looked like, because they were these big red round sores, but they were actually tumors that were in my skin, and they were just all over my body, especially on my backside, by the way. And the more I got covered with them, the more it was embarrassing, so I no longer stood out in the showroom floor, because at the time I was the general manager at Bob Neal Chrysler Plymouth Jeep Eagle. And so I was back in my office, you know, because I didn't want people to see me. And Pastor Little with Rinalda Presbyterian, which is where Alan Wright is now, by the way.
Yeah.
He comes in and he says, God's told me to heal somebody here. And Joe Valls at the time was my finance manager. And he went to Pastor Little's church and he said, oh, Pastor, good to see you. Huh. You know, you must be talking about Robbie Dillmore, because he's got lymphoma and he's back in his office and we're really worried that, you know. And so next thing I know, and at this point in time, I've been in Christ maybe 4 or 5 years, and I had no idea about being anointed with oil or being laid hands on. None of that stuff was anything that was in my understanding. Mm-hmm. But that was what Pastor Little had in mind that day, mm-hmm. and it was also a Friday, interestingly. Mm-hmm. It was a Friday afternoon, and I was supposed to start my chemotherapy on Monday. Mm-hmm. And that Friday afternoon, he anointed me with oil. He laid hands on me. And I do know there were lots and lots and lots of people praying for me all over the country for different reasons, my parents and, you know, all sorts of things. But that prayer had something that I just sensed, like, I think I felt something. Well, Monday morning when I woke up, this was a Friday when he prayed over me. Mm-hmm. Monday morning when I woke up, the tumors were miraculously gone, all of them totally gone. Mm-hmm. And so I went on to my appointment with the doctor. They did another biopsy to see what in the world happened, because these tumors were all there. They had pictures of it like Friday. They knew where it was, and here it is Monday, and they're all gone. And where the biopsy was done, they said, wow, the cancer had turned on itself and ate itself. And
the cancer turned on itself and ate itself.
It did. And there you go. So I was tumor-free, but they did the chemotherapy anyway, and that begins another whole long story of the Jeep incident and all that stuff that people familiar with my story know that I was not done with my health tribulations for some time after that. But nonetheless, I did not die of cancer. Obviously, here I am. This is 24 years later, yeah.
So how old were you when that happened?
Let's see, 1996, I was 41.
A young man.
Yeah, yeah. Two very small kids at home, yeah.
Something else that had happened to me, because I think you had just told me a little while ago that Charles Stanley was the first, was your first guest. Or not first guest, but one of the first people who heard your show, the big time.
He heard it and got excited about it and put it on Sirius 161, yeah.
Charles Stanton. So November 1st of 2011, I was driving and I finished up a day with insurance and I was out in Germantown, North Carolina, right near Pilot Mountain. And all of a sudden, I had talked to a pastor and I'd sold him a policy, and he said that I believe that God still heals people today. And it was just strange. Something about talking to this guy was just a little bit different. And it really stuck to me. And I was a Christian at the time, but I remember driving, and I almost never used to wear my seatbelt. So by the way, if you're listening, wear your seatbelt. Put on your seatbelt now if you're not wearing.
Yeah, but I was a Christian car guy.
Do what?
The Christian car guy will tell you where your
seatbelt. Wear your seatbelt. So I was at the bottom of the hill, and it was pitch dark. There were no lights outside. And all of a sudden, I'm listening to Charles Stanley on the radio. All of a sudden, I'm at the bottom of the hill, and I don't know if it was a voice that was in my ear or something just told me, you need to put your seatbelt on. And at the time, I almost never wore my seatbelt. And so the first thing that went into my mind was, okay, I'm going to put my seatbelt on. And then there was another voice that came into my ear, and it said, what, you don't trust God? And I said, no, I need to put my seatbelt on, because there's something about that second voice that didn't sound right. So I put my seatbelt on. I driving up to the top of the hill. All of a sudden, Charles Stanley goes off the radio. It starts playing this weird music. And within about 5 or 10 seconds, dead straight into a tree. And the tree, I hit the tree so hard that the tree was right up to my...
Why did you run into the tree?
It was a curve and I couldn't see anything. And the people who had actually come out outside after I hit the tree said, people have had accidents on this road before. And I didn't know. I don't know exactly why. Maybe I was going too fast. I mean, the deputy or the state trooper who came to the accident, I explained to him what happened about how I had my seatbelt on. And he said, if you didn't have your seatbelt on, we wouldn't be talking right now. He said they'd have a helicopter right now taking you to the hospital. I mean, it was that bad. And you know, there are people, and I've talked to today, they said, well, the God who heals people or the God who does miracles and stuff like that, that was just for the first century. And that's stuff that doesn't happen today. And I say baloney to that, because I absolutely
believe
that. Yeah,
that's an if not for God moment right there, which, by the way, I have heard that at least two other times. And it makes me think maybe I need to do a show this weekend. Like, call in if you've had this happen where God asked you to put your seatbelt on right before you had an accident. But I know I've had, because I've done a lot of shows over the years, that's not the first time I've heard that testimony where somebody felt God impress on them to put their seatbelt on right before something, you know, traumatic happened. But, you know, it reminds me of, well, since we got a short period of time and this story would take more than 2 minutes, I'll tell it anyway. I did this show, like, Where Were You When Jesus Took the Wheel? Mm-hmm. And the first person that called, I was expecting to be a call like what you just described. Mm-hmm. And the guy says, well, let me tell you where I was when Jesus took the wheel. I was, you know, going to a chiropractor appointment, and my wife or girlfriend ran a stop sign, and we were T-boned, and now I'm a paraplegic. I've got no use of my arms and legs. But it was exactly what God wanted for me, because I was going down this horrible road of Buddhism or some other spiritual thing, and he got my attention so that I could be saved. I mean, this guy was testifying that this accident that caused him to lose his arms and, you know, the use of his body changed his life to make him a Christian. And it was like he was glorifying God with what had happened. Just, you know, like, oh my goodness. I'll never forget it. And that call led to other calls that day, where Jesus took the wheel. And sometimes you have the accident because God's allowing things in our lives to get our attention.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely got my attention. do you have and I know you've been doing this for so long, do you still feel that you have a purpose that hasn't quite yet been reached yet? Is there something that you're still going for right now that you haven't?
Yeah, that's the beauty of it, is every week is I'm asking God, I'm in the same boat I was in, you know, 16 years ago, whatever, like, God, what do you want this week? Where are we going? And it's actually been absolutely the joy of the whole experience is God, you know, come alongside of me and show me where we're going every week, because I honestly never wake up, you know, with knowing, okay, here's what we're going to do this week, because that journey with God is always what makes it worthwhile. And so the week that he says, Robbie, we're not doing this anymore,
that's it.
I'm with him. But so far, even this week, you know, I'm excited to see where he's taking us.
Wow, that's awesome.
Well, thank you for listening. If you can go to your website,
ifnotforgod.life.
ifnotforgod.life,
and check it out. Subscribe to the podcast if you do that. And like us on Facebook. We've got a Facebook page now. And we pray that God blesses you.
Thank you for listening to If Not For God with Mike Zwick. For more shows, subscribe on iTunes to If Not For God. For more information on Mike or to contact him, go to ifnotforgod.life.